When I think of a lamb, I think of a cute little animal. Sweet, fluffy, completely innocent, totally harmless. I think of the nursery rhyme, Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. But I discovered that when a lamb is mentioned in the scripture, it is most often associated with sacrifice. Lambs in the scripture are killed. They're slaughtered. They're sacrificed. The first time a lamb is mentioned in the scripture is in Genesis chapter 22, which is a very interesting chapter. In Genesis chapter 22, God tested Abraham. It was a tremendous test. He said to Abraham, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." And Abraham obeyed that command. He packed up his belongings, the wood, the knife, the means by which fire would be made, Isaac, his son, and they traveled to Mount Moriah. Well, Isaac was about 13, 14, or 15 at that time. He was a teenager. And as they get there and they begin to travel up the mountain, he has a question for his dad. He says, "Dad, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said to his son, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. And you remember the story. He bound Isaac, put him on the altar, knife lifted, just about ready to plunge to sacrifice his son. And God said, "No, don't do that." And then provided a ram for them to have a burnt offering. God never intended Abraham to go through with it. It was a test. But notice the first appearance of a lamb in Scripture in connection with a father about to sacrifice his son. The second time that lamb shows up in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 12, which is another very important chapter in the Bible. The nation of Israel was in Egypt for 400 years. The Israelites were being treated harshly by Pharaoh. They were slaves. The Israelites groaned. God raised up Moses. You remember the story. And he went to the Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh was a stubborn man. 10 plagues were poured out upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And it was the 10th and final plague that caused him to finally relent and let the people go. That 10th plague, a death angel was sent to the land. This death angel would kill the firstborn son in every household. The death angel was coming. God told his people, the Israelites who were living in the land, how to avoid that judgment. In Exodus chapter 12, he said, "On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb." Second time it shows up. "According to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And the household, if it's too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat." The death angel was coming. The judgment's coming. They were required to take a lamb, to slaughter it, to pour the blood in a basin, and then to paint the door frames with blood. That's what would save them. God promised, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I'm the Lord." The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Second time lamb is shown. Judgment's coming. A lamb must be slaughtered. Blood applied. So that the judgment would pass over that household. And then we see many lambs show up in the scripture after that in the Old Testament, usually in connection with animal sacrifice at the tabernacle or the temple system. Nation of Israel was redeemed out of Egypt, and at Mount Sinai they received the law. They entered into a covenant relationship with God, and part of the law was animal sacrifice. The idea is if you break the law, if you sin, then you must bring an innocent substitute, an animal, to the courts of the temple or the courtyard of the tabernacle before there was a temple. And here's how it went down. You have sinned. You deserve death. You bring an animal to the door. You would lay your hand on the head, transferring your guilt symbolically to that animal, and then you would slaughter. You would slit the throat. Hand it over to the priest. The blood would be poured out. The animal sacrificed on that altar. The most common animal to be sacrificed was, you guess it, the lamb. How many millions and millions of lambs were sacrificed in Old Testament history? In fact, Exodus chapter 29 says, "This is what you shall offer on the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight." Every single day. For close to 2,000 years until the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, two lambs were sacrificed, one in the morning, one at night. And then many more lambs were sacrificed for other reasons. Lambs were sacrificed as they celebrated the feast. Every year when they celebrated the Passover, every single family had to offer a lamb. The imagery in the Bible of the lamb. Innocent, without blemish, sinners offering a lamb, the sacrifice of a lamb for the covering of their sins, and so the judgment of God would pass over. I want to remind you on this noon hour, on Good Friday, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is referred to in the Bible as a lamb. The Lamb of God, sent from heaven. My wife opened the service with Isaiah chapter 53, speaking about the Messiah who would come, the suffering servant. In verse 7, it says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth." On Good Friday, the Lamb of God sent from heaven was led to the slaughter. You remember when John the Baptist was around. He came on the scene and he was very popular with the crowds, baptizing multitudes of people in the Jordan River. And everyone was excited about John, but John said, "Don't be too excited about me, because after me comes one whose sandals I'm not even worthy to tie or untie. I baptize with water, but there's one coming who will baptize with fire." And do you remember when Jesus came, when he started his public ministry, he came to John the Baptist. And how was he introduced? John saw him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All of the pictures, all of the imagery in the Bible that speak of lambs being sacrificed for sinners, they all point to Jesus, and they were all fulfilled completely in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus is the Lamb. Jesus is the Son of God become man. And as the Son of God, he was completely innocent, no sin. Not one sin, not one sinful thought, word, or deed. Completely perfect, holy, pure. I hesitate to say harmless, because Christ isn't harmless. He can do some damage. In fact, one of my favorite lines in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, a novel by C.S. Lewis. Lucy asks the beaver about Aslan, and you remember Aslan represents Christ. And Lucy says, well, is he safe? And the beaver says, of course he's not safe. He's good, but he's not safe. There's a mystery about Christ. He was perfect, without sin, without blemish. And you and I, we are so not like Christ, right? We are so incredibly sinful in thought, word, and deed. And the scripture says that sinners are separated from God. Sinners are worthy of death and judgment. But the Lamb of God, on that first Good Friday 2,000 years ago, he went to the cross. The perfect one. And the Bible says that all of our sins were poured out upon him. He bore all of our sins in his body. He took the judgment of God in our behalf. He paid the price. Understand something. The Lamb of God sent from heaven was sacrificed for you. For you. For me. Led to the slaughter. And he chose to do it. Nobody forced him to do it. He courageously took all of the evil wickedness that man could throw at him. And understand that he did this entirely out of grace. Not one of us here this afternoon deserved it. The Bible says God demonstrated his own love for us, and then while we were yet sinners, he died for us. You take that personally. Jesus instituted this ordinance that we call communion. He gave this as an ordinance for the church to keep. This is the way that he wants us as the church to remember his sacrifice. So in just a few moments, we're going to participate. We're going to distribute these elements. The bread represents his broken body. The grape juice represents his shed blood. As Christians, we sit at this table reverently. Amen? We reflect upon that great sacrifice. And I would also call all Christians here this morning to resubmit your life to Christ. Resurrender your life to Christ right now, right here. Maybe some of you as Christians have sort of slipped away. You've rebelled. You're backsliding. Well, remember what he did for you. Remember the price that was paid. At this table, rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. And also at this table, we sit here with thanksgiving and praise, don't we? As we consider what he did. You know, John the Apostle saw a worship service in heaven. And he wrote about it in Revelation chapter 5. It's a beautiful service. It reads, "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. All saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" To the Lamb forever and ever. We sit here and we worship the Lamb. Amen. We join with the heavenly chorus. If you have not yet received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then I want to give you an opportunity to do that before we distribute these elements. Christ died for you. The Lamb was slain for you. All your sins were placed upon the Lamb. He died in your place. He took the punishment that you deserved. Have you received that gift? Jesus did die on the cross, but in a couple of days, we're going to celebrate his resurrection from the dead. Amen? He rose again. And the next time we see him, he's going to be more like a lion than a lamb. The Bible says that he defeated death, that he secured salvation. But you have to receive him as your Lord and Savior. You have to come to the Lamb. You have to come to him and admit that you are a sinner. And hopefully that would be easy for every single one of us to do. If you're here this morning and you don't think that you struggle with sin, you got some serious problems. We all need to be forgiven. And you must simply, that's the first step, bow yourself before the Lamb. Admit that you need him. And then invite him into your life. By faith, put all your trust in him. And do you know the scripture says that when you do that, all of your sins are washed away. You become born again and you become a child of God. And your life will be changed forever. Oh, what a day. What an opportunity right now for you to do that. If you've never done so. One great hymn reads, "Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more." Another great hymn. "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come, and the invitation is open to all. Come." Christian, if you've already received Christ, worship. Surrender. If you've yet to do that, come. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. I want you to think about your own life. It is by no accident that you are here at this service. God has brought you here. Maybe you're a Christian who has drifted away, and it's time to get back on track. Resurrender your life to Him. At this table, as you hold this bread and this juice, you think of what He did for you and you resurrender your life to Him. If you've never received Christ, the invitation goes forth right now, and I will lead you in a prayer right now. Settle it right now. In your heart, Lord Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice for me. Be my Savior. Wash away all my sins. I believe. I trust you. You're the answer. I confess my sins. I admit that I'm a sinner. Come into my life. Make me born again. I want you to know this noon hour, Good Friday, that if you prayed to receive Christ, you are forgiven. Your sins have been totally washed away. You're a brand new creation in Christ. You're His child. You have the hope of heaven when you die. The Bible says that angels in heaven rejoice. Let's stay in an attitude of worship and reverence. I'm going to have the guys come forward.